Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today.
Hello and welcome to The Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers. I'm pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent. I'd like to invite you along to come to one of our services. We meet each Sunday at 10:30 a.m. If you don't live in the Orpington area, then go to our website, lutheran.co.uk, click on the church directory, and find the congregation that's closest to you. I'd encourage you to go and pay them a visit. I know you will receive a warm welcome. I'd also like to thank you for your prayers and for your financial support of Lutheran Radio. Your prayers and your support help us keep this ministry on the air. We welcome back this week Dr. Jeffrey Leininger. He is the campus pastor for Concordia University in Chicago. Pastor Leininger was also a pastor at Resurrection Lutheran Church in Cambridge, or assistant pastor for several years while he was at Cambridge working on his PhD. And he is the author of a new book called Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose. And we were talking about that last week, and we've invited him along to carry on the conversation again this week. So, Dr. Leininger, welcome back.
Thanks. I'm glad to be with you again. I get a little long-winded when it comes to this topic because I love it so much. So thanks for letting me come back again.
It's our pleasure. It's always wonderful to speak with you. Now, the title is Callings for Life, and we talked a little bit about that last week, but can you just give us a brief recap of why it's called Callings instead of Calling?
Yeah, Martin Luther's insight about the word vocation or vocatio was to apply it to not just those who are in religious work, the priests and monks and nuns, but he applied it to every Christian in the good and godly activities of their sanctified life. And so callings plural is important because we don't just have one great thing that we're supposed to do, but rather God has many things that we are to be doing as we kind of walk through the faces and the places and the spaces of our lives. So callings plural is important. And as I said, the other concept is that we have them throughout our whole life, and that they are in the everyday ordinary things that we are asked to do, and the way that God is working through us in this world.
And last week we were talking about how God uses the mundane. And so oftentimes the mundane is at the heart of our calling. And again, could you maybe just recap a little bit about that as well, please?
Yeah, I think people are so often infatuated with that when they become a Christian, or when they renew their Christian life, when they think about what they're supposed to be doing as a Christian, they might think that, well, the whole point is to escape away from this world. And that's not the right way to look at it, because just as Christ was sent into this world to redeem the world, Christians are also called to be back in the world. They're not called to escape from the world, but they're called back into the world to be little Christs, as Martin Luther put it, little representatives of the body in the places that they're at, in the mundane of their everyday lives, in their work, in their play, in their study, in their interactions. We are to be involved in this world as Christians. And that's an important sort of Lutheran insight and biblical insight. Just as Christ did not abandon the world, but rather entered into it, bringing life and light, that's also the callings of every Christian.
And you talk about being involved in the world, and you use an interesting analogy, God's gloves. That's how we are involved in the world. So what do you mean by that?
God's gloves. Well, first of all, it's alliteration, so that always sounds good if you can alliterate something. I love lots of alliteration. The concept really is back to again Martin Luther's insights. He called it the masks of God, or larvae dei, and the masks of God. The idea was that as we are at work in this world, that it looks like us on the outside, but in fact, it's God at work through us. So I might use the example of a farmer, that the farmer is planting and harvesting and therefore feeding God's creation, God's creatures. On the outside, it looks certainly like the farmer, but really it's God that is doing the work. So the farmer is sort of like the mask of God. He or she is kind of a covering as God is working through them. And so I just kind of try a different approach or different analogy with the same concept by calling it that we are the gloves of God. Think of something simply as reaching your hand out to help someone. That it looks like it's your hand, but really it is God's hand through you. We are extensions of God's providential care to the world. And when we begin to think about it in that way, we start to see the many callings that God has given us, that we are, everywhere we go, we are representatives of God. Though people might see us on the outside, yet the Spirit of God is within us, helping and preserving and caring and loving this lost world in His name.
And you talk about these as being God-given callings. How can we be sure that they're actually God-given callings and not just something I've reached out and grabbed for myself?
Well, we certainly always want to return to the Scriptures and return to the moral law that we're given in the Holy Scriptures. We want to follow the law of love that Christ gives us. And so we're not permitted to simply consider everything that we do a calling, because there is truth and there is right and wrong revealed in the Holy Scriptures. But I think another way of thinking about this also is to try to get away from the idea that we choose our callings. There are certainly things that we choose to do. Somebody might choose to go to university. Somebody might choose to switch their occupations, their work. Somebody might choose to become a pastor. Yes, we do make choices in this world. But in fact, Pastor, most of the things that we're asked to do, most of our callings, we didn't choose for ourselves. Rather, God has given them to us. For example, I didn't choose my siblings. Nobody asked me to vote whether I have these siblings or not. I didn't choose my parents. I don't choose the students that come to Concordia Chicago that I'm called to serve. I don't get to vote them off the island as much as I might want to at certain times, but God has brought them to me. I don't even choose my neighbors. I might have chosen to move into a particular neighborhood, and I might choose to leave a particular neighborhood, but really God has brought those people into my life. Some of the people that are listening to this program, they might be working somewhere, or they might be in a care facility. They might be in a retirement facility. Most of the callings we have in life, God gives to us. We don't choose for ourselves.
Thank you for that wonderful insight. And you talk about these God-given callings having four sacred gifts. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah, if you think about your callings in life as God-given rather than self-chosen, how does that change the way you look at the things that you're asked to do, the people you're asked to serve, the activities of your life, the people that God places in your life? Well, how does that change then? If these are callings given to you by God, and I talk about four sacred gifts, and I like to call them gifts because they are gifts, even though sometimes they are difficult to fulfill. But I talk about God-given value. That if God has placed these people in your life, whoever they are, however hard it might be to work with them or to live with them or to deal with them, that they have value because God has created them, God has redeemed them, God loves them. So one sacred gift is God-given value, that every human being that is placed in your life can be considered a vocation, a calling from God, and they have eternal value because of God's love for them. Another one is God-given strength. If there's difficult things that we're asked to do, And those that are listening to this program, they know that in their life right now, there are callings that they have been given that are really hard. And the second gift, sacred gift that God gives is strength. If it is from God, He has also promised to strengthen us in the fulfilling of that calling. He does not abandon us in the things that He asks us to do. Again, if it's self-chosen, there's no promise attached to it. But if it is given from God, then we know that it is something that He will strengthen us as we seek to be light and salt, as we seek to fulfill these callings. So God-given value, God-given strength. The third is God-given grace. We will fail daily, much, all the time. The more we discern our vocations, the more sin we find, the more we realize how we've failed. I mean, we've failed in the callings of just the people that we see right away in the morning when we wake up, right? But if these are callings given to us from God, we know that there's also the assurance of His grace and forgiveness when we fail, given to us in the work of Jesus Christ. And then fourthly, there's the gift of joy. The callings that we have are from Him and they're for Him. And so the Christian then can rejoice in them. That we are not just doing random things in this world. We're not just fulfilling random tasks or just going to work, whatever our vocational occupation might be. We're not just here doing things, but we're doing things as extensions of God's providential care. And then, so there is a joy that that accompanies that. So if we begin to think about our callings as God-given and not self-chosen, then also accompanying that is four gifts. Value. We and each person has God-given value. Strength. God will help us in the fulfilling of these callings. Grace. He will, and does, forgive us when we fail as we repent and we turn back to Christ. And joy. That the Christian can have joy in the fulfilling of the smallest and most mundane things. Because he or she knows that they are things that God has asked them to do.
So let's put this rubber to the road then. And what would you say to the person who says, that sounds good for you, Dr. Leininger. You've got a great life. You're an author. You're a pastor. You're a, teacher. But my calling is a burden to me. It's not a joy. It's not a blessing. What would you say to that person who says, man, I've lost my joy. I don't have the strength. It doesn't feel like God has the grace to get me through this. What would you say to that person?
I think that's a really, really important question because in each of the callings that we have, I think that they contain both blessings and burdens. And it's really easy for us to look at somebody else's life and say, wow, I wish I had that person's life. I wish that I had their job or their family or their occupation. So there are burdens that come with our callings, and they're not all the same. And certainly we can reach out in compassion to those that are carrying heavy burdens, maybe people that are listening right now to this program. What I would say about the burdens is that God is at work through them. If we believe that this is from God, whatever that burden might be, whatever that calling might be, we also know that He is at work through that. It may be simply to draw us closer to Him. It may be to refine us and to shape us as a Christian. It may be, as St. Paul talks about, the thorn in the flesh that he was given. It may be simply so that we understand more and more God's grace that's given to us. It may be to draw us closer to the cross. Those things are real, and there's no easy explanation for them. And some of those most difficult burdens that were given by God, I can't pretend to have all the answers or to have a nice, easy scripture passage or insight that will make it go away. But I can say that if it is from God, though it is a burden, He has promised to be at work through it. And he has promised not to leave us or abandon us in the carrying of that cross, in the carrying out of that difficult calling.
Does looking at Scripture and characters we see in the Bible and the difficulties they have in their lives, does that help us? Can that be of some comfort?
For sure. I think one of the things that we learn when we look at the Scriptures, I think in particularly the Psalms, that when it comes to the burdens that God gives us, that the Psalms are really honest. They're honest about the human condition. They're not afraid to kind of lay into God a little bit and ask the tough questions. In Job, for example, we have this honest, almost being angry. Yes, being angry at God. People wrestle with God in the Scriptures. And yet there is also this clinging to God in faith. Though he slay me, yet I will praise him. I think about the biblical example of Jacob wrestling with God, that he knows he's going to lose, but he's got to keep wrestling anyway. He's got to cling to God. So throughout the Scriptures, we see people like us struggling, people like us not always being happy with the callings that they've been given or the things that God asks them to do. I mean, we think about Moses or Jeremiah or the other prophets or our Lord himself, who even on the cross says why, and even in the garden says, I don't want to do this. And yet in the end, we trust that God is faithful to us, and that we cling to his cross and to his mercy, knowing that when he gives us these difficult callings, he also gives us the strength and the grace in the fulfillment of them.
Well, that leads me perhaps to another theoretical question, but I'm in a counseling session and somebody says to me, I've just read Dr. Leininger's book and I love it, but it's just made me realize I have 25 different callings. How do I balance that in my life? I mean, what sort of encouragement, what sort of advice might you give me in working with this person? How do we look at our callings and actually try and come up with a sane balance of what God wants us to do?
Yeah, that's a really tricky thing. It's a tricky for young people that I work at. We often feel like our callings are pulling us in a lot of different directions. You might have a calling as a husband and a father and a citizen and a neighbor and a pastor the chair of a Lutheran church body, just to pick a random example. That's a lot of things that are pulling at us. And I think that my advice is to begin with sweat the small stuff. Begin with the little things that are given to us every day. And I think about some of the great figures in the history of Lutheran Christianity. Martin Luther himself, he didn't start out to change the world. He just was faithful in teaching and studying the Scriptures. I think about a person, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who is a well-known Lutheran pastor that was under the Nazi Germany and worked to oppose Adolf Hitler and worked to smuggle Jews out of Nazi Germany. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Lutheran pastor, and he didn't set out to be martyred or to oppose Adolf Hitler, but he did what was right in the little circumstances. So my advice for people is that when you're feeling overwhelmed with all of the things that you're supposed to do, start with the small stuff. Start with the faces and the places and the spaces, and trust that God then is going to be at work through you.
So is this concentrating on the big picture or the one great mythological vocation or calling for a human being rather than the small stuff? Is this really a disguise for the theology of glory as opposed to the theology of the cross?
It certainly can be, yes. It certainly can be. We like to uphold people that do great things and get the awards and win the Nobel Prizes. And again, these are good things. But I think it's interesting to look at the Scriptures too and to say, well, there's a lot of things that unfolded in the Scriptures that wouldn't have happened if people hadn't just been faithful in their everyday callings that they were meant to do. One example I give in the book is, think about the story of Jonah and the whale, or technically it's a big fish. That great missionary account, that never happens if the whale just isn't a whale. If he doesn't swallow up Jonah and eat him up and spit him out. That's just an illustration of, there are people that just need to be the big fish. Another example would be in the great story of Exodus, Moses and the Exodus. Think about the women involved in that account, that story, that Miriam or Moses' mother or Pharaoh's daughter, that none of them see a burning bush. None of them hear a dramatic voice from God, but they are faithful in doing the little things, just their everyday callings in life, and then God does something extraordinary through them. I think of the book of Esther. The name of God is not even in the entire book. The name of God is not in that book. But here you have a woman that is put in a certain situation. And God uses her in a dramatic way to save her whole people, to stop a genocide. But God uses her for such a time as this, that God had placed her in this situation to do something dramatic because she was faithful and just in the small things. So that's kind of my advice for people is, yes, of course we want to do great things, extraordinary things. But in almost every circumstance in the scriptures, and in church history, it started with people being faithful with their everyday callings and then trusting that God would be at work through them.
You mention all of these historic figures, and even if we look at them and we go, okay, they had their faults as well, often we're very perhaps jealous of them and we think, well, they had their troubles, but God still used them. How can we perhaps put that to side or look at other people and go, well, we're jealous of them? That's just quite human nature, I think. But how does that fit in with our daily lives and how can God maybe crucify that within us as well?
That is a wonderful question. I think we often, look at other people, the callings that they have, and we can be envious or covetous or jealous. We wish that we had that. Or we look at certain historic figures and, you know, I haven't done anything dramatic or incredible in my life. And I think just again to return back to be faithful in what God has given you, that we're not in the end called to be successful. We're called to be faithful and to concentrate on, what God has given you to do this day. What is it that he has called you to do today in the simplest, ordinary, down-to-earth ways? What love has he asked you to express? What service are you to give? What words are you to speak? What responsibility are you to discharge and to be faithful in? And this can be in as you're on the tube in London or riding on the bus, or if you're at work in a very secular environment, or if you're doing banking or farming or finance or industry, whatever it might be, to say that God has sacred things to do through me right now, today. And that can kind of focus us, you know, away from, oh, I wish I was somebody else, or I wish I had these callings or responsibilities or this dramatic thing to do. And be careful what you wish for, because sometimes those things come with burdens that maybe you wouldn't be able to bear. But to be faithful in the things that God has given you today, I think that's kind of the message of the book. Your callings for this life are happening right now. And it will be amazing the way it starts to open up your heart and your mind and your eyes to what God is actually doing through you. And there'll be plenty to do just with today, just what God has given you today.
Dr. Leininger, thank you for those wonderful and encouraging words. And talking about your calling, you are the campus pastor at Concordia University. Can you tell us what perhaps a day in your life, your calling entails, and tell us a little bit more about Concordia University of Chicago?
Yeah, one of my callings in life is to be the university pastor or the campus pastor at Concordia in Chicago, a Lutheran university in beautiful River Forest in the Chicagoland area. I do pastoral care and counseling for our students. I lead daily worship. I direct our pre-seminary program. So those students that are studying to be Lutheran pastors, I oversee that program. I preach. I lead worship. I help with Bible studies on campus. I really see my job as sort of empowering the callings of our students while they're with us here in Chicago to see God at work through them. So it's really exciting work. We have students from all over the world that have come to us, and we're taking seriously the work of God and showing love and speaking Christ and proclaiming Him to the whole world, which He has brought to us here in Chicago.
And we deeply appreciate the connection that you guys have with Westfield House, and that's very important to us here in the ELC, and we very much appreciate that.
Yes, I was happy to begin that program, actually, where we here, after my time in Cambridge and at Resurrection and at Westfield House, to begin a program where we send undergraduate students to Westfield House in Cambridge. And it's been a really enriching experience for our students. And we pray for the Lutheran Church in England, for your confession of faith. We pray for Westfield House. We know things are very difficult right now with this worldwide pandemic. I just was seeing today that the economy in Britain is hurt worse than I think any other European country. And so we pray for your witness and your work and for Westfield House and the important confession that you're bringing to those islands in the UK.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your prayers, as well as we will keep you and your work in our prayers. Dr. Jeffrey Leininger, we thank you so much for sharing some time with us. And we, again, thank you for this wonderful book, Callings for Life. And you can find that at cph.org or go on Amazon. We highly recommend it. And again, thank you very much. God bless you, and look forward to seeing you, I hope, in the very near future.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.